been speaking to us about prophecy, and with that sound that comes from the back seat where kids are saying, "Are we there yet?" And it's so tempting sometimes to just get in your Bible and just look at those things about the end times and Jesus coming, and I think it's important. I don't want to hear me say that it's not important. But at the same time, it can also be something we spend so much time in that we're not doing the things that we're supposed to be doing as a church. We're looking at this, but we're not, are we reaching people? And I want to talk about that balance today. But before we get started, I got a few clips that I've asked Timothy to share with us. You'll understand in a minute. So let's watch these clips together. All right. One of those words on there was Biff. That was the guy from Back to the Future, right, Biff? Lights. I don't know how many gamers we have out there, but wouldn't you like to play those games? That's the kind of stuff we grew up with. Some lame ping pong game. And then it got better when you played Base Invaders. That was much better than two ping pong paddles. And our cartoons or shows we watched were what you just saw with Batman and Robin. Every kid in my age at that time point in time was coming home to watch that show, or The Lone Ranger or Speed Racer. All a bunch of two-dimensional, very lame special effects. But yet, even back then, I mean, I'm kind of glad I'm not Floyd, because he just played with a rock. But somebody's got to pick on Floyd, right? But even with those simple things, you could get distracted away from what's important. And I kind of feel, I'm talking to young people right now, I kind of feel for the young people today. There's so much, and it's not just young people that I'm speaking to, but there's so much in social media or on our computers or on our phones and our gadgets or iPads or whatever you have that we can get so lost in what's going on in cyber that we take our ball on what's really important, our eye off what's really important. And so we've been talking about prophecy. And I think as we talk about prophecy and we talk about our daily life as a Christian, there's a balance we need to have. And it's a balance we need to have in what we study and what we're supposed to be doing for Jesus, and at the same time, still keeping our eye on the prophecy and the things going on in the world and seeing where we're at. But it's a balance, and I want to talk about that balance today. So no matter what kind of games you grew up with, there's always a way to get sidetracked. There's always a way to not be doing the things that we should be doing. And Paul speaks to us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. That's where we're going to spend part of our time this morning. But before we do, I want us to look at two other scriptures talking about the same time. Jesus is quoted in two different places, Luke 21 and Matthew 24. I want to read both of the texts with you. They're the same text, and I want you to listen to them. There will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and on earth distress among nations, in perplexity at the roarings of the sea and the waves, people fainting from fear and the expectation of the things that are coming upon the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But when these things begin to take place, straighten up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Same text, same place in the text, Matthew chapter 24, verse 29 and 30. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened. The moon will not give its light. And the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then the Son of the Man will appear in the sky. And then, listen to this, totally different. The tribes of the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. In one scripture, Jesus said, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And the other scripture says the people are mourning. What's the difference? Because one of them was ready. One of them wasn't. When they were seeing the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven, I'm sure right in that same vicinity, people were starting to leave the planet. People were starting to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and they weren't one of them. And they know from listening to people in their lives that when they see this happen, which they've never believed and never got ready for, when they see these things happen, they know what's coming next. They've heard what's coming next, and now they're mourning because they weren't ready. Both of the outcomes show two different things. Somebody's rejoicing. Lift up your head and rejoice, for your redemption's drawing nigh. And other people are mourning. Paul's writing to us in 3 Thessalonians chapter 5 about this same period of time. He just got done talking in chapter 4 about all the things that we're supposed to be doing. And when he gets to the very end of chapter 4, he says, "Now I don't want you to be confused about those who are sleeping or who have died." And he talks about the coming of the Lord and how the dead in Christ will rise at the very end of that chapter. So that's where we're at. We're at this point in time where Jesus is returning, the dead in Christ are rising, and then we're going to go into chapter 5 where Paul starts to talk about the day of the Lord. When I was a kid, to me, when I heard things, the day of the Lord was the day Jesus returned. But the day of the Lord, if you go study it more, the day of the Lord is when God finally pours out his wrath on the world for what they've done to his people. And the ill that has been thrust upon the faithful. That's the day of the Lord. And we're going to start reading that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. The same time period we talked about in Luke and Matthew. "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon them, as travail upon a woman with child." So that's what the day of the Lord is, sudden destruction. Jesus comes, he takes his faithful. And I think we're going to see a lot of the stuff that happens on the day of the Lord, but we're going to be protected from it, just like the Egyptians were protected from the plagues. Not the Egyptians, the Israelites were protected from the plagues. When they lived in the land of Egypt, the plagues took place around them, yet it didn't affect them like it affected the people that weren't ready for them. So Paul's writing here, it says, "For yourselves perfectly know that the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day of the Lord should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light and the children of day. Ye are not of the night, nor of the darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as others do sleep, but let us watch and be sober." There's a lot to be said in these two words, watch and be sober. What does that mean? What is Paul talking about? Yes, he's talking about the coming of the Lord. Yes, he's talking about the day of the Lord and the sudden destruction that's going to come. But he's also saying watch and be sober. And that's where I want us to look today. I think that's where the balance comes. Let's pay attention to world conditions. Let's pay attention to what's going on around us. But at the same time, let's watch and be sober. When I was a kid, and I always refer back to my dad, and I didn't think much of what he said when he preached when I was a kid. I just knew that my dad was a truck driver, became a preacher, and I was sitting in church listening to him. And as I'm older today, I remember, I know you're going to hear me say it. You've heard me say it before, and I'll say it again, and you'll hear it again in the future. But two of the phrases that I remember the most are, keep the main thing. The main thing is to keep the main thing, the main thing. And the other phrase that never leaves my head and is, if he isn't Lord, he won't be Savior. And now those two phrases, even though they're not specifically taken out of the Bible anywhere, I don't see them used by the Apostle Paul, those very thoughts are found in other words when Paul speaks to us. Watch and be sober. So we're talking today about being ready, regardless of how it happens. It doesn't matter if it's a pre-tribulation rapture or post-tribulation rapture. It doesn't matter about all these different things about the end time conditions we can talk about. Paul's main point is do not be caught off guard. Because see, we live in a world where there's a system of things in this world that does not care about us. Yes, there's all sorts of things you guys in this audience can do, whether you're a teenager or an adult. Things that can sidetrack you from doing what all really matters. And I'm not talking about daily living things where you're paying your bills and stuff like that are not important. It's important to pay your bills. It's important to do the things that you have to do in life to live in this world. But at the same time, sometimes we get things a little out of perspective. So I'm just saying today what Paul is telling us in this scripture, to keep the main thing. Don't be caught off guard. Let's continue on with verse 7 and chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians. For they that sleep in the night and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath. That's what's coming upon the world in this text. God's wrath is finally coming upon the world. I think we're going to see some of it, but we're going to be protected by it at the same time. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to say, getting a little bit into prophecy here, that we may not see, some of us may not see any of this. We may have been killed or died by then, or maybe even been killed in the tribulation that goes on this planet. And that's one of the dangers about prophecy that I want to talk about, is we always look for prophecy, and when Jesus sets up his kingdom and those bad times that come before he returns, and I might have to give my life for Jesus. Well, you may not walk out of this building today without being hit by a car. So let's not put all of our eggs in one basket of what we're going to do when Jesus, we're going to stand up and give our life for the Lord because we're going to be persecuted. We may not make it that far. We need to be looking at what we're supposed to be doing today for Jesus, not what we're going to do for him when there's when we're actually under persecution. We may not make it that far. God forbid that any of us aren't here next week or 2 years from now or 5 years from now. But we can't be thinking in a way that, what are we going to do when the Antichrist comes? What are we going to do when the tribulation starts? Let's talk about what we're going to do today. Let's have a good mix of what we're supposed to be doing as a church and have it and from that standpoint. For God has not appointed us with wrath, but obtained salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. We read in Luke, people fainting from fear. Can you imagine being so afraid of what's coming that you faint from fear because you weren't ready? And the expectation of the things that are coming upon the world. I think that Paul is saying the same thing here, in talking about the wrath of God, that Jesus was saying back in Luke, and Jesus was saying back in Matthew 24. Paul goes on to write in verse 10, who died for us, talking about the Christ, who died for us, that whether we are awake or sleep, whether we're alive or past, is what he's talking about. If we're still alive or past, it doesn't matter. Jesus still already died for us. We should live together with him when this time frame comes. He goes on to say in verse 11, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you. Now, this is the part of this text that I read, and I know what it's saying, and we're going to talk about it a little bit, but I don't see it as, I think some people let this go to their head. Comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye edify as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you. Know Floyd, one of your elders. Know Dan, one of your elders. Know Josh, your treasurer, and those that teach in Wednesday night Bible studies and stuff like that. Know them. And over you in the Lord, and admonish you. And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And be at peace among yourselves. Respect your teachers, is what he's saying. Respect those that are in authority in the church. And sometimes I kind of skip over this because I was a pastor, and I think sometimes some pastors let things go to their head. And all I think pastors are supposed to do is let people know they're loved by you. And you love them because they love you. And you respect them because they study God's word. But you're studying God's word too. I think we're all important. I don't think a pastor or anybody in leadership is not important. I think sometimes people let that go to their head. So we're going to skip through it a little bit. I'm not saying it's not important. So now we exhort you, Paul writes in verse 14. Brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Paul continues on. He's just talking about Christian living here, in my opinion. Rejoice evermore. Let the world see you rejoicing about the faith that you have. Pray without ceasing, he goes on to say. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. He goes on to say, quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. So he's talking about them. He's telling us that prophesying is important. Don't despise it. Don't not do it. But don't neglect these other things either. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do. Who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord in the epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. Paul's telling him, take this letter I'm writing you and read it to others also. This is important stuff. And then he closes with, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. There are some people that didn't hear these words because Paul had already told us in chapter 4 that, hey, some of you have already died. I don't want you to be ignorant about those people. They're sleeping in the ground right now, and Jesus will return, and they will be caught up. There will be a trumpet that will blow, and they will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and those who are still alive, he's talking to them in this letter, are going to meet them too. We're going to go right up after them and meet Jesus in the air. And then he starts going to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, which we just read. But those people that he was talking about that are already asleep and dead in their graves, they probably could wish that they were there to hear this. But they weren't. And I'm talking to you today, and I hope that we all have a lot of time left and that we all have a lot of living to do together. But none of us are guaranteed that. So we need to be living every day for Jesus. And I just use these videos as an example. They're lame games that I played when I was a kid. I had that Pong game. I had a little brown Atari that hooked to the TVs we had were these massive console TVs that sat in your living room that took up about, 10 square feet or more on the floor, because that's what we had. We didn't have some flat screen TV the size of a dime that you could put on the wall that weighed. When you moved your television, you had to have two or three people come over and move that television. It was heavy. Right, Floyd? And that's what we played with. And we didn't have some 95-inch screen on the wall playing on some massive game. It was maybe 36 inches, and you had these little controllers. There was no digital push-button controllers. There were these little knobs you had to turn to get that little Pong paddle to go up and down like this. And that was our fun. That or playing with a rock like Floyd. But yet, some days you could get distracted with that kind of stuff. Don't get me wrong, I guess I would rather live in that world today than this world today when it comes to the craziness and the you can find yourself in full-blown sin in no time on these things. finding things that we should not be doing, should not be looking at, should not be entertaining ourselves with. It is so easy in today's world to watch a movie that maybe we should not be watching. And so I'm asking you as Christians, especially you young people, I'm targeting you today for a reason, because you have so much more that you can be distracted by. And it's stuff that doesn't even matter. And so I challenge you that to make coming here not something that you do because Mom and Dad make me come to church. Something you do because Jesus matters. Because a man really was on this planet who did not have to die for our sins, and he went to the cross anyway. And we should be trying to figure out ways that we can get serious about him. But yet, at the age of 59, I still manage to find ways to make mistakes and do things that I should not be doing. I'm not telling you it's easy. I'm not targeting you because I've done it right and I want you to do it right. I don't want you to fall like a lot of us have fallen. I don't want you to get complacent like a lot of us have gotten complacent. So I'm speaking to you today. Adults, I'm not speaking to you. I know that you've already had problems. I know that you've already went through some things in life. But we should be at a point where we've figured out our mistakes, right? And we should be looking around at our grandkids and our kids and saying, boy, I really feel for my kids and my grandkids. They're going through some tough times in this world today, and I want to be there for them. This kind of thinking, it wasn't just something we're talking about today. Jesus told the parable about a guy who was going to build bigger barns so he could put more stuff in them. So he could lay back and go, oh man, I can just relax and take it easy for the rest of my life. And I got so much stuff in my barns, so much food to eat, I don't have to worry about anything. And God said, oh, you fool. Don't you know that tonight your life's going to be required of you? You're not even going to make it to tomorrow, buddy. So this kind of thinking has always been going on, even from the times of Jesus when they didn't have video games. You know, I have no idea what they did back then, because it looks other than what Floyd used to do, play with a rock. I just know that to me, I just know where I've been, right? I know where I've been. I know what I've done. I know that I can get better every day. I just don't want to see you make the same mistakes. I don't want us to get to the point where we hear the words, you fool, or depart from me, I never knew you, ye that work iniquity. I want us to be about having a good balance in our Christian lives of talking about prophecy, talking about the coming Lord, talking about how good it's going to be. But yet at the same time, doing something about it as we live our life today. One of the things that was spoken about in that text from Thessalonians, and what I would like you to do is I'd like you to go home and I want you to go back into 1 Thessalonians and I want you to read chapter 4 in its entirety. Because he spends the whole time in chapter 4 talking about all the things you're supposed to be doing. Then he briefly talks about those who fell asleep, and then he goes into the wrath, the day of the Lord in chapter 5. I want you to go back and read chapter 4 and chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians and read through it. But one of the things that he did say when he's talking about daily living in there, he's talking about do not quench the spirit. One of the verses that sticks out to me that I always ask myself, I just ask myself this question, do I have the Spirit of God working in my life, is Romans 8:9. Paul makes it abundantly clear when he wrote in Romans, do not quench the spirit. He says, for if you do not have the Spirit of Christ, you do not belong to him. So we need to be praying every day for God's Spirit in our life. And when we do get up in the morning and we pray for His Spirit, let's go home at night and ask ourselves one question. Was He Lord today? Or did I fall down? And get up the next morning and pray for God's Spirit in our life. And hopefully when we get, the more we ask for God's Spirit in our life, the more times we come to the end of the day and we ask ourselves that one question, was He Lord today? Yes, He was Lord. Or the answer is, once in a while, yeah, I kind of fell down today. I did this and I did that. And the Bible tells us clearly When you do things wrong, you go to God and say, God, I sinned today. I'm sorry. Please forgive me and help me do a better job tomorrow. We keep that balance. We look for the reward that's coming and Jesus returns. We put him first every day. Make him Lord. And keep the main thing the main thing. We'll hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We're going to close with the song 330, Help Me Find My Place. 330, please stand, help me find my place.